there.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. We're live from Buffalo Bills training camp with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're here a lot over the next 5 weeks. A long training camp for the Bills. Lots of time for us to talk about the upcoming season. Lots of time for you to join us as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You already heard in the first hour Bills General Manager Doug Whaley, and you heard many issues he addressed, including E.J. Manuel, including Shontrell Henderson, seventh-round pick, who right now, with Cordy Glenn being sidelined, he's going to be the starting left tackle, at least for now, going into camp until they figure out when Cordy Glenn can resume practice. Whaley saying it does not appear to be a season-threatening illness for Cordy Glenn, but we'll keep an eye on that. A guy who keeps an eye on the Buffalo Bills and the rest of the AFC East joins us now. He's been keeping an eye on the Bills for decades now. Longtime sports writer here in the Rochester area. He is a contributor to USA Today Sports Weekly. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. He is a columnist on sports for the Rochester Business Journal. He, you can read him on Twitter at Right Fielder. Author of several books, including Color Him Orange, the Jim Boeheim story, the Buffalo Bills football vault, the first 50 seasons, and Jukebox Hero, the Lou Gramm biography. Our old pal Scott Petoniak from Rochester joins us live on the line right now. Scott, hello. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Murph. When you said decades, boy, you really like to make me feel old, don't you?
Well, how about this? I'm talking to people now. I work with people who said to me today, how many camps is this for you? You know how many camps this is for me, Scott, covering the Bills? Not even as a fan, but covering the Bills. This is my 33rd.
Yeah, this is my 30th. So I think you and I think Chuck Pollock of the Olean Times Herald, he's in his 40s now as far as camps are concerned. So I think we're the senior citizens of the group right now.
We certainly are. Yeah, it feels good, though. And I enjoy coming to camp, Scott. I enjoy coming down here to Rochester, and I've learned to embrace it now in its 15th year. Tell me what this camp has meant to the Buffalo Bills and to the Rochester area now in its 15th year, Scott.
Well, I think it's meant a lot because, you know, for the longest time, you know, Rochester has been the second largest market in terms of ticket sales and so forth. So I think it was a logical move to bring it here. You know, Russ obviously is a St. John Fisher alumnus, Russ Brandon. So it made perfect sense. I think the community's embraced it. It's become part of, the summer sports scene here, really. And, you know, it's not as maybe popular as it was in the first few years, but it's still very, very popular. There's going to be big crowds out there, people, wanting to see if E.J. Manuel is turned the corner and if Sammy Watkins is the real deal and so forth. So they still get these huge crowds. And as you and I know, even at 8 o'clock in the morning, those stands will be packed for practices. It's really astounding to me sometimes to think about that. I mean, a bunch of guys running around and sometimes in shorts and helmets, and people are still oohing and aahing.
You know, Scott, we've been talking to a lot of fans on our radio show all week about training camp and what they like about training camp. And the one thing that comes through, it was true back in the Fredonia days, you were there as well, and I think it's even more true now. Training camp gives these fans a real opportunity to interact with players one-on-one. You can get any autograph you basically want. You can talk to players in a relaxed, informal setting. Oh, by the way, it's free to come and watch practice. It really, I think in the world of professional sports, training camp on-site, off the campus, like off the campus of One Bills Drive like this, is sort of unique now. There's only 14 teams that do this, go off-site now for training camp.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good thing. I think you touched upon it. It's kind of an intimate atmosphere that you really don't get, obviously, during the regular season. There's no public access to practices. Game day, everybody's tense and focusing on the game and so forth. They're not, interacting usually with the crowd. I mean, they do at times if things are going well or so forth, or trying to get the crowd into the game. You'll see guys on the sidelines and so forth. But, yeah, this is a, you know, it's a little bit more relaxed, particularly for the veteran players usually, and it's a good chance for them to get up close and personal with the fans and to have some fun. And, you know, there's some leather lungs who you can hear for miles away, in the stands at Fisher and stuff. And I think the players kind of like hearing from them, and you'll hear some cheers and stuff. And sometimes you think, like, you know, these guys have been tailgating for just for coming out here for practices and stuff. So yeah, it's I kind of liken it a little bit to like spring training in baseball, where there is more of a sense of intimacy there. Closeness, and you think about sports, as the money has gotten bigger and bigger, and the pressure has gotten greater and greater, we've lost a lot of that intimacy or accessibility that athletes and fans have, and I think this is one of those rare experiences where you can still have that.
Scott Pitoniak live on the line with us. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly, longtime Rochester sports writer. Hey, Scott. It amazes me, and again, 15 years in, it amazes me the transformation of this campus here at St. John Fisher College. Probably not wholly due to what the Buffalo Bills have done, but certainly the Bills have brought a higher profile and maybe some of the money and development that we've seen on this campus over the last 15 years, haven't they?
Yeah, without question. It's been a very, very beneficial thing for St. John Fisher, the university, in particular the football program. I think, if you talk to Paul Vosburgh, the St. John Fisher coach, there's no question that I just think some of the upgrades in the facilities, the locker rooms, the fields, that have come about as a result of hosting the Bills here has really, really helped the program. And plus, to be able to say that, I think it's increased the visibility of St. John Fisher and has helped in recruiting. You go out and say, oh yeah, that's where the Buffalo Bills train. And I think that, that adds something, I think it still makes an impression where, a kid will come here and, go into that locker room that's been totally revamped and stuff and think like, wow, this is, where so-and-so Fred Jackson, has used this locker room, and CJ Spiller and so forth. And I think that has an impact. And of course, Ralph Wilson has been, he was incredibly generous, in building academic buildings and helping contribute money to some of the programs there on campus. So it's been a great windfall for Fisher, without question.
Scott Pitoniak joins us, who's covered the Bills for a long, long time, and he'll be here at training camp as the practices start up. One theme of some of the questioning today, Scott, as the players checked in, was, and it shouldn't come as any surprise, the lack of, I guess, respect the Buffalo Bills are getting from national prognosticators going into this season. After so many years without a playoff spot, after just 6 wins a year ago, that's to be expected, although I don't know if it's warranted because of the collection of talent they have assembled here. What do you think?
Well, I think, I think you've hit on it. I think, there's kind of a, show me attitude about the Bills nationally. When you've gone 14 years without making the playoffs, that is a natural skepticism, I think. But I think there's no question, when I look at this roster, that's been totally revamped, really, and turned over, in a matter of years here, that there's been a tremendous upgrade. I think the overall team speed and athleticism is far superior to where this team was, a year ago, 2 years ago, certainly 3-4 years ago. You've got some people that can really move now, and I think that's very, very important. But the proof is going to be in the pudding. You're not going to convince people on a national scale that things have changed until you actually change them. And I think even sometimes among the Bills fan base, we've had a couple of teasing starts and then it falls apart and so forth. So there's just a, there's a natural wait and see attitude. And again, I think from the outside nationally and talking to writers in other markets, particularly, in the other AFC East cities and stuff, it's going to come down to the quarterback issue. Can E.J. Manuel, find the decision-making skills and the accuracy, particularly on the deep and intermediate throws, to help this team go to another level. But I have a feeling, John, when we talk about the overall talent upgrade, I don't think, like, you know, EJ has to be, you know, Jim Kelly reincarnated. I just think he has to be, you know, a good, solid leader and quarterback out there, you know. He certainly has to make, you know, a good progression from last season. But he doesn't have to be all world, because there are, I mean, I look at that running back core and I challenge people to show me a deeper, more talented running back core in the NFL than what the Bills have. So there's playmakers there. Clearly, I think, you know, we're talking about Sammy Watkins. You know, it's tough to get a rookie to come in and be an immediate impact player, particularly at wide receiver. But I'm intrigued by seeing, like, you know, a Robert Woods. And in that second year, you know, I'm excited about him. I think he can be, you know, he can really be something this year. And you know, so I think that overall skill level, the number of playmakers, you know, on offense it's all there, you know, for EJ. You know, I'm a little concerned with this news with Cordy Glenn, you know, because I think there was a guy who was really coming on. You know, and is really becoming a good player and stuff. So you got to have some concerns about that. But you know, it is going to come down to EJ. But I don't think he has to be all world for this team to finally get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And Doug Whaley just said to us last hour, Scott, about EJ. You know, they don't want him to feel like he's got the weight of the franchise on his shoulders. They want him to keep getting better, but they have tried to surround him with talent. I don't think they know exactly what they have in EJ Manuel yet, but, and I kind of admire this about Whaley and Marone, they're all in with EJ. I mean, they know that they're all in with him, even though nobody really knows. I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but the Bills decision makers have decided to put their faith and hope in EJ Manuel. They have to be, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gamble, you know, and you're putting all the chips there and let's see it happen, but you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. And I know a lot of people, you know, many in the media and certainly many fans, you know, have given up and said, you know, he's never going to be anything. And I just think it's just kind of a harsh assessment right now. I mean, I don't know either, you know, and I have my doubts. But I look at, you know, you had such a small sample size there of 10 games. You know, you had the three separate knee injuries in a four-month span. So we're going to see. You know, yeah, there's questions about his decision making. There's questions about his accuracy. There's questions about his durability. But you know, I mean, give him a chance, and they are all in. And it's just, you know, either they're going to, you know, hit big, or they're going to, you know, their jobs might be on the line.
Sure. We're on the line with Scott Pitone, a Rochester sports writer. It's the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp. Scott is covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. So how do the Bills stack up in that scrum behind the Patriots? I guess we concede, because of Tom Brady mostly, we concede first place in the division to the Patriots. I know the Bills wouldn't look at it that way, but behind them it's kind of a scrum with three teams with almost similar situations at quarterback, it seems, Scott.
Yeah, it's very intriguing because I think they have the similar situations at quarterback, and also coaches being on varying degrees of hot seats, you know, that they really have to produce in this season. You know, obviously, you know, in the case of both Rex Ryan and Joe Philbin of the Dolphins and Rex Ryan of the Jets, I think, you know, it's playoff or bust. They're losing their jobs if their teams don't get in the playoffs. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, you look at the situation in New York, you know, with Geno Smith, and there's serious doubts about whether or not he's the guy. You know, had a lot of problems protecting the football. You know, I think he turned it over about 25 times last year. Not very accurate, like 58% or whatever. And then down in Miami, you know, with Ryan Tannehill's going into his third season, and it's kind of a make or break season in some respect. I do think if you look at it last year, he did show some improvement. But look at the situation he's got now, because they got a totally revamped offensive line. Now, you could make the argument like, well, big deal. Look at last year's offensive line. They yielded 58 sacks. But I think not having Mike Pouncey at center is a real huge blow for them, and he could be gone done for as many as six games from what I'm hearing. You know, they may want to put him on that, you know, that IR list where he wouldn't be eligible until, what, you know, week seven or whatever. So that they're you know, they've got some serious issues. And with the Jets, it's not only, you know, Smith, but they're hoping Eric Decker is the playmaker, because they're the team that, you know, and they're also putting a big gamble that Chris Johnson is going to find the form, you know, of 2 or 3 years ago, and that's a big gamble as well. So they are clustered. There's no question about it, and it's going to be interesting in each city to see how these scenarios, you know, play out.
Is there a playoff team in that group of three?
Yeah, I mean, I think any of the three has the potential. I really do, if certain things go right, you know, particularly with their quarterback situations. And that's the key. Again, the Bills have to show me, and I'm not going to predict that they're going to be a playoff team, but I do look at the overall potential, and if it clicks in and he takes some real positive steps forward, there's no reason they can't be. I mean, you know, obviously the Bills have some big issues. I mean, Kiko Alonso, the loss of him, I think is really, you know, a big loss, because he's a playmaker, and you know, they say they have some answers for Jarris Bird and stuff, but you know, Bird was a pretty darn good player too, and I, sure, I can't minimize, you know, those two losses on defense. So, but I think any of them have the potential. I mean, you know, Tannehill, he doubled his touchdown pass total, increased his accuracy a bit. So, you know, if you know, he was take some more steps forward, but that's a big if. You know, behind, they're going to have five new starters on their offensive line come opening day. And that's an awful lot to ask, even though you brought in a Brandon Albert, who is a good, solid left tackle. You know, in the Jets situation, I don't know. They could potentially could be a mess. It really could. You know, if they've got to put Michael Vick in there, and you know, John, there's no patience in New York. And so even if in the preseason you start seeing Geno's getting, you know, throwing picks or, you know, missing receivers and stuff, the clamoring's going to start. You know, it may not even wait till the regular season if, you know, and that could just be a total mess if that happens.
Talking with Scott Pitoniak, Rochester sports writer, covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly. Let's work in a couple of phone calls here. Brian from Naples, Florida. Brian, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in, let you know I'm a big fan of you. I've been a diehard Buffalo Bills fan all my life. Unfortunately, I got to live in Southwest Florida to do it. But had a couple of questions, maybe get some insight from both of you. Just on, you know, the motivation that for the team as a whole to succeed this season. I don't know if you know the passing of Ralph Wilson and maybe losing Kiko Alonso. Just different type of things that might motivate us to, you know, have a better season than, you know, projected by most analysts. And the situation on the defensive coordinator switching regularly, is there going to be any stability in that in the future, or do you have any insight on that whatsoever?
Okay, a couple of questions there, Scott. I think as far as motivation, one thing, and it's been mentioned with uncertainty about who the next owner is, there's plenty of motivated people in the Bills organization to want to impress whoever winds up owning the team. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the way I look at it, John, it's like, you know, from top to bottom, everybody's auditioning for their job. I mean, it's no different than in our business. You know, you get a new program manager, you get a new editor or whatever. You know, you've got to prove yourselves, so I definitely think that that's the case. And it's not, I don't say that as a panic mode or anything. But let's face it, you know, a new person comes in and they might, you know, give you another year just to assess things, or they might just, you know, assess right now and say, like, okay, this is not where I want it. And, you know, and new people, you know, a new owner could have his own people. already in place and decide, like, okay, it doesn't matter. It didn't work here. You didn't make the playoffs again, so I'm going to bring my people in right now and do it. So, yeah, that's a clear motivation, and that's everywhere in the organization from what I see.
His other question about the change in defensive coordinators, the Bills lost Mike Patton. They pick up Jim mm-hmm. Schwartz. I don't know about stability. Let's face it, if Jim Schwartz gets a chance to be a head coach in the league next winter, he'd probably take that chance. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, by all means. I mean, and I wouldn't worry about it. You know, I think getting Jim Schwartz after losing Mike Patton was a pretty good get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's you know, you can say what you want about him as a head coach, but, you know, he's had success as a defensive coordinator. And particularly the thing that I like, John, is that, you know, he's had successful teams defending the run, which, you know, is one of the issues, big issues with this defense. I mean, clearly, you know, they set a franchise record for sacks and put a lot of pressure. But I think, you know, the Achilles heel still was those occasions when they got gouged. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with Schwartz and his system and also, you know, the addition of Brandon Spikes, that, you know, they're addressing, you know, that weakness in their defense and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if he has, you know, if this is a lights out defense and there's an opening and somebody wants to take a chance on him, he's going to go. It's just the nature of the business, you know. And again, it's not like, you know, there are good people out there that you can replace them with. I mean, they're you know, so I look at this situation and they were pretty fortunate, I think, to get a former head coach who was a successful, you know, defensive coordinator.
Let's take one more call with Scott Pitoniak while he's with us. This is Derek in Boston. Derek, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I just wanted to start off by saying how much I appreciate this app and enjoy listening to you every night as soon as I get a chance.
Thank you.
Now, with the season starting, Central playing left tackle, I think it could happen. I think he could do a good job. I'm really hoping Cordy Glenn comes in to play. I hope that it's not a big issue with Cordy Glenn. I didn't listen to the first part of the show, so I would like you to inform me on exactly what's going on with Central. But once again, I just want to call and say how much I appreciate the app and how much I enjoy listening to. I think you do a great job with the Buffalo Bills, and it's great for me to listen from Boston.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks for calling, and thanks for your comments. So the story with Cordy Glenn is he's on the non-football illness list. He missed the end of OTAs and minicamps 4 weeks ago with an illness. We're not sure if it's the same one. He's undergoing more tests. Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, said today that they don't anticipate it will be an illness that will threaten his season, but they're not sure. Still waiting on tests to come back for his illness designation. And Whaley said to us last hour on the show, the interview we did with him, that going into camp, going into practice on Sunday, the seventh round pick Henderson would be the starter at left tackle. Scott, what's your take on all that? And a lot of people are ready to jump off the Peace Bridge. I think it's a little premature right now.
Yeah. It's a little premature. I mean, I was really impressed, you know, with Glenn, his progress, you know, at left tackle. It looked like, you know, this could be a really big season for him, you know. And so, and again, you hope that this is nothing serious and that, you know, he can get back. And, you know, but it'll go on. I mean, you know, things happen. Obviously, injuries happen all over the league. You know, the next man up, approach has to take place. So, yeah, it's premature right now. You know, they do have, I think they, you know, that Doug Brown is trying to, you know, get a bigger, stronger offensive line. We saw, you know, the way they drafted and so forth. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. But it's certainly a blow. There's no question because, again, as I said, I thought Cordy Glenn was really, I thought he was really coming on.
Hey, Scott, I know you've been with us for a while, and I want to let you go. But before we let you go, I got to commend you and just ask you about the column you wrote today for Rochester Business Journal about Jim Kelly. You probably caught up with him when he had his one-day camp here at Fisher the other day. And you said, it's kind of a good point that you make. You point out that Jim Kelly's finest hours have come when the chips are down, when things look bleakest, which sort of applies to his current health situation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look back, and I feel terrible for the guy. I mean, we both, have, you know, we've covered his entire career and life after football here in Western New York and stuff, and obviously, you know, the I mean, all we knew how tough he was as a football player. We saw him take like just some of the most brutal hits and get right back up and keep coming back, you know, and we saw him endure the Super Bowl losses and so forth. And then beyond that, after that, of course, you know, the situation with his son Hunter and the hell that, you know, that family went through, you know, with Krabbe's disease and so forth. And, you know, I talked to Jim also about his mom, Alice, who, you know, was tethered to an oxygen tank with, you know, emphysema and would still come to games and the camper and everything. And yeah. Really was just such a big force in the lives of all the Kelly boys, and of course now, you know, what Jim's facing is as Jill has said, you know, is a battle for his life and stuff. But you know, it's been a pretty remarkable way he's handled this whole thing, I think, you know, and it's been, you know, not merely inspirational, you know, but I think Jim has been genuinely touched by the amount of love, you know, that he's, you know, that he's received from people. And, you know, I actually went up and saw him at, you know, up at Sweet Home and stuff. And, okay. And I was actually encouraged, John, because, you know, he's frail, but he just seemed to be, he looked and sounded better, you know, than he has in quite some time. And I think it did him a world of good, you know, being back on the football field with these kids. And, you know, he genuinely has always loved doing his camp. And I really think he's always loved being around kids. I mean, I always saw that throughout his career, that he was good with kids. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, hopefully he's going to get some great news, you know, when he goes down to Houston for that MRI next month, and you know, hopefully the news is that there's no more cancer in his body. Yeah,
that's what we're all hoping for. Hey Scott, thank you very much. We really appreciate you spending so much time with us tonight. I feel like you've almost welcomed us back to Rochester here, the training camp. I know.
Yep, Scott. Well, go to Thirsty's there, John. You know, as Peter King from Sports Illustrated will tell you, that's he loves, you know, he loves this training camp site, and I do think it is one of the best in the National Football League. So welcome back to Rochester.
Thanks. Scott Petoniak, thanks for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Right Fielder. Scott Petoniak, a nationally honored sports writer, best-selling author of several books. He covers the AFC East for USA Today Sports Weekly and a columnist on sports for the Rochester Business Journal. Does a lot down here in Rochester. We thank him very much for joining us tonight. Give us the Rochester perspective of the Bills' 15th year at training camp here at St. John Fisher College.